I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at what the day's challenges tell us about where we are, what we believe, and who we want to be in North Carolina and the South. Today, behind the mask. For months, North Carolinians have lived under various rules and policies designed to slow the spread of COVID-19. But last week, Governor Roy Cooper announced something new, a statewide mandate to wear face coverings.
Face coverings are a simple way to control this virus while protecting ourselves, our families, and the other people around us. One important point here, required face coverings not only cause zero harm to our economy, they in fact help our economy by making it safer to shop, do business, and keep our small businesses running. We're adding this new requirement because we don't want to go backward.
Cooper is hardly the only person touting the efficiency of face masks. Growing evidence shows that wearing a mask does help slow the spread of the virus. But some folks are unwilling to cover up or enforce the new rule. Several sheriffs in North Carolina have said they won't issue violations to people not wearing masks. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump has been resistant to wear one himself in public and has even mocked his likely presidential rival Joe Biden for donning one. Rhetoric like this from the president has fueled a partisan divide over face masks, much to the chagrin of health officials and several politicians from both sides of the aisle. But political affiliation isn't the only motivating factor. Many black and brown people feel wearing masks puts them at more risk of discrimination and violence when out in public. Gender is also playing a part. Surveys show men are less likely to wear a mask, even though they're at a higher risk to die from COVID-19.
This is not unique to this pandemic or even to pandemics in general. We have evidence from other areas of public health that men are less likely than women in a lot of cases to adopt protective health behaviors. And even among men, those who endorse more traditional masculine gender norms are, again, going to be less likely to adopt these preventive behaviors.
Dr. Julia Marcus is an epidemiologist at Harvard Medical School. She researches HIV prevention and has been advocating for what she calls more empathetic messaging around face masks.
From a public health perspective, what's important is acknowledging all the many reasons why people don't wear masks and then trying to adapt our public health messaging and interventions to address those barriers so that we'll have the greatest possible impact. I do think we have some lessons that we've learned in HIV that we can apply here. One of those that I think is particularly important and that I see playing out right now is that shaming people doesn't generally work to help them adopt healthier behaviors. Generally, when we shame people and say, you know, that wearing a mask is easy, why can't you do this? This is not that hard. You're putting people at risk. Don't you care about your community? Those kinds of messages, and also fear-based messages, like if you saw my patients on a ventilator, you would wear a mask. Those are understandable for the person who is saying those things, the anger and the frustration, but they don't generally work to help people change their behaviors. And actually, if people feel shamed when they don't wear a mask, they may be more likely to just take their socializing indoors where they can remain unmasked and it actually becomes higher risk and then public health can't really address it. And people may be afraid to disclose to contact tracers that they were at an unmasked indoor dinner party. So what works better is trying to meet people where they are in terms of understanding what their reasons are for not wearing masks, even if we find them to be something that's difficult to relate to, even if we think that people shouldn't find, you know, feeling unmanly to be a barrier to mask use. If it is a barrier to mask use, let's make manlier masks. and let's try to just do what's going to work best here. And of course, you know, we'd all prefer to dismantle toxic masculinity, but that's just not on the immediate agenda in terms of fighting this pandemic.
Historically, what's a type of messaging, whether it was HIV/AIDS or some other health crisis, what's an example of something that has worked?
Yeah, if we take condoms as an example, in the early years of AIDS, there were public health campaigns that really relied on those moralistic and fear-mongering messages, and those tend to fall flat. And what ends up working better is recognizing what's most important to people about having sex and what are the things that condoms get in the way of, and it tends to be pleasure and intimacy. And so public health campaigns that acknowledge those values as being central to people end up working better. And in addition to that, recognizing that people just dislike condoms and need lots of different kinds to choose from and need ones that fit better and feel more comfortable, that has become a very effective strategy for promoting condom uptake. There are a million different kinds of condoms out there, and we need the same for masks. And we need to be thinking about other strategies like face shields that might work for some people better than others. And finally, I think bringing masks to people where they need them most is going to be effective in the same way that putting buckets of condoms in gay bars helps people use them at a time when they're going to be most likely to need them. Putting dispensers of masks at the front of trains and at the front of, you know, office buildings and wherever we think it's most important for people to use them, that's where they should be most easily accessible.
I'm old enough to remember when seatbelts were not the law, not required. Obviously, they are now, and it seems like something you don't complain about that much. You know, when seatbelt laws came into effect, I remember people, you know, saying, I would never wear a seatbelt. I'm not going to. And that was just their own health that would be affected. Now, people wear seatbelts without even thinking twice about it. Do you feel like as this pandemic progresses, and hopefully it doesn't go too long, but as it progresses through the summer, that, you know, wearing a mask will just be something people do and there'll be less pushback against it?
I do think we see this resistance with any new public health intervention, especially one that's kind of uncomfortable. But I think we are in a somewhat unique situation here because masks have been so politicized. I can't think of another example where a president has deliberately made statements that go against current public health advice. And I think that that has a huge impact and makes this more of an uphill battle than it normally would be.
Dr. Julia Marcus is an epidemiologist at Harvard Medical School. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Hi, I'm Russ Henry. I work with Dave here at WUNC. Hope you're enjoying this episode. I'll let you get back to it, but I need just a minute to tell you about some other shows from WUNC you may like. Our politics podcast is basically required listening as we get closer and closer to the huge election day in our state. Capitol reporter Jeff Tiberi is all over the issues, the elected officials, and the news that's driving debate and policy in North Carolina. And speaking of news, the State of Things podcast features conversations with newsmakers, journalists, artists, activists, and others who are influencing the culture of North Carolina every single day. Hosts Frank Stacio and Anita Rao offer a kind of up-close look at our state you won't get anywhere else. Check out the WUNC Politics podcast and the State of Things podcast right here on this app you're listening to. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode of these shows.
At some point in the future, two very tall individuals will stand in the middle of a court, a ref will toss a ball high in the air between them, and a basketball game will begin. And maybe even a crowd of fans will cheer them on. It's unclear when this might happen, but one thing is for certain. When that day comes, things in the stands are going to look a lot different. Patty Olinger is the executive director of the Global Biorisk Advisory Council, or GBAC.
You're going to see people in the stadium wiping down high touch points during a game. I think the other thing that we're seeing is a lot of these sports venues are looking at how you would order food. Instead of going up to the concession stand, using more of your technology to order it so that there is less of, you know, crowding, you might say, in certain situations.
GBAC provides an accreditation program on cleaning guidelines to public venues. The Spectrum Center, home to the Charlotte Hornets, is one of the places they've advised. Olinger says venues are likely to have specific protocols according to each state's rules. But there are some things that will be more common regardless of where you see a game. At the top of that list, masks.
It is the most simple thing that we can do to protect ourselves and protect others. And I think that's the thing that people need to, that we need to realize, that this is the one thing that's been proven to be able to not only protect you, but to protect someone else as well. And what's really interesting is there are some masks that are now being made with a little emblem. And I think that's what you'll probably see is, you know, your favorite sports team, you know, logo on your mask.
Whether it's wearing a mask or waiting in a line 6 feet apart, Olinger says it's crucial for everybody to follow the rules at live events or just stay home.
You do have the freedom not to go. I mean, if the venue says, you know, we're going to require everybody to wear a mask, or if your local government says, you know, if you're in public, you know, you need to wear a mask. We have the beauty about the United States is that we do have the freedom to go somewhere else or not go. And so that is a personal freedom from that standpoint. And so we're not only protecting ourselves, we're protecting others as well. And so if all it takes for us to reopen is to do some very simple things like wear a mask, wash our hands, then why not do it for a while? Then we reopen and then it's like, okay, great. Yeah, we did it. Forget about politics. This virus could care less.
That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Charlie Shelton Orman is our producer. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Thanks for listening.